Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Stephen Van Roekel, the Federal Chief Information Officer. 18 months ago, OMB released their IT reform plan. Here we are now, 18-month anniversary. Give me an update. Where are we?
Well, I think if you take the high-level view of IT reform generally in the U.S. government, we couldn't be prouder of where we are. We've kept the budget flat or declining now in the last year, and have driven a wave of innovation and a culture shift across government to really embrace IT and the strategic importance of IT. The IT reform plan, was a mechanism by which we used to shock the system to get people to follow some very discrete deliverables. And as you said, we're coming to the end of the 18-month window prescribed in the IT reform plan with a lot accomplished and a lot of other activities coming out of the plan that are now sort of our agenda going forward.
So let's talk about those accomplishments first, because I think you're right when you obviously say shock the system. I think it did to some extent, but then some people will say, well, we were heading down that path anyways. You talk to some agencies, and for instance, I just did something with the Postal Service, and while I know they're quasi-government, but they still kind of follow things in the typical way of agencies, they say, well, we've been doing virtualization for a decade. Or you talk to someone and go, well, we've done cloud, it's just called managed service. But give me a sense of that shock. Where do you see the biggest shock?
The shock was really around the broadness of the strategy. You know, the fact that it was 25 points really indicated that there was a set of very discrete but very broadly focused initiatives. We did see excellence in many parts of government. You know, one group doing virtualization, one group, doing data center consolidation, another group focusing and looking and evaluating the cloud solutions and other things. What wasn't happening, and one of my big takeaways that I've learned since being in government is really about consistency, broad consistency, and you want to be really smart about applying a strategy that can take and pull those best practices up to the broadest sense and scale those across the whole of government. So a lot of the strategies we do beyond the 25-point plan are focused on looking at, typically one agency doing something really well and then figuring out how do I smartly scale that across government to the benefit of Americans.
So let's talk about some of the specifics. One of the goals around the 25-point plan was by June 2012, obviously we're just beginning into June, but agencies would have identified and migrated services to go to the cloud. There's something about 79 services for transition. You guys put out a cloud strategy that had a lot of that in there a number of months ago. Did you meet that goal? Are agencies migrating those 79-plus services?
Every agency has migrated at least one service to the cloud, with many of them moving many more. We've moved and identified, I think, about 78. I think the number's close to where we were, which is about 80% of our goal. But what we learned along the way was not only having a crawl, walk, run strategy is important to move to the cloud, but also there were some inhibitors. There were programs that were needed. And this is where the 25-point plan leads to other things that we do. You know, the launch of FedRAMP in December, the work we've done on both infrastructure and email as a service, the work we were doing partnering with GSA to streamline a lot of the cloud procurement process and programs were the sort of secret sauce, we feel, in really getting sort of the cybersecurity consistency and streamlining the way that agencies can move. You know, if you take email as an example, we've moved over 1 million mailboxes to the cloud across the federal footprint, and one of the things we're happy to report on this 18-month anniversary is we're now at about $100 million a year in savings because of the cloud email services, and I think that's just a tip of the iceberg. I think as we go through other programs like Portfolio Stat and look at others, I think there's a lot of potential out there to drive a lot of savings here.
Let's talk a little bit about savings, because that number, that idea of savings comes up all the time. In many ways, it's less about savings or more about cost avoidance or a combination of the two?
It's a mix of things. You know, I always use the phrase publicly of innovate with less, which is, you know, we were growing, before this administration, growing federal IT spending at about 7% a year compound annual growth rate. And if we currently spend about $80 billion on these back-end IT systems, if you were to extrapolate a 7% line out, through this administration, we'd be spending about $103 billion right now. So on our cost curve, there's about a $20 billion difference on where we were headed. So we're very proud to talk about the fact that with this, you know, in 2009, when this president came on board, we froze IT spending. But, you know, did that freeze innovation? I think not. And the strategies and tactics, you know, led in large part by the 2014 plan and others have all been to go find savings in the federal IT portfolio, you know, eliminate duplication, shift to the cloud, consolidate our data centers, and all that to the effect of taking those savings and pouring them back into innovating. And so a lot of the services we've been able to deliver and the advancements we've been able to drive have been largely riding on the savings that we've been able to produce inside the federal portfolio.
Are you able to give me maybe a real life example of somebody, let's say GSA or USDA, since they're kind of ahead of the game when it comes to email in the cloud, but there could be anybody who said, hey, we're no longer spending $5 million a year on this email program. Now we can move it to this mission critical. Can you give me a real life example?
USDA is a great example. They did a couple things where they drove savings in their IT spend. One was around their email consolidation, the 21 email systems that they moved to one cloud-based system. Another was their mobile contracts. They had over 1,000 mobile contracts. They moved those to 3 blanket purchase contracts. And USDA has come to me and talked about sort of their opportunity they have now to drive new capabilities forward on behalf of employees. So one of those is they're looking at mobile technology out in the field. USDA has a lot of field workers that go out and meet with farmers and conservation officials and things like that. And all of these people are driving in pickup trucks with giant 3-ring binders everywhere and often have to go back, don't have the information they need and have to go back to the office to get it. Very inefficient. Now, their ability to be able to do these kind of solutions on tablet devices where they've got not only access to a Library of Congress worth of information on these devices, but also being able to go in and take geo-coordinates and other stuff where they can be more interactive and do their job more effectively. And so it's an example where, you know, taking savings and pouring it into innovation could be a very powerful thing.
Now, for USDA to do this, or really for any agency to do this, do they need permission from OMB?
It depends on the agency and where they are, how their appropriation language is defined, what the purpose of the spend is for, and things like that. So it's kind of a case-by-case basis, but they definitely partner with us on that, and we factor through, you know, the budget guidance that we recently issued for the fiscal year or 14 budget planning was about cut and invest. And this is sort of an unprecedented motion where we're asking agencies to actually go cut about 10% of their IT spend and give us a list of priority add-backs that net back to zero. And so sort of for the first time, at least I know in this administration, we've been able to drive this motion where we're basically saying, you know, let's go find those savings. Let's be really aggressive in eliminating duplication, shifting to the cloud, data center, all these other things, you know, embracing and cleaning up our procurements around mobile and other commodity computing. And then let's pour that back into innovation that's going to serve the American people in a better way. And so we're increased in productivity of your agency or build citizen-facing services called for in the digital strategy or other things like that. And so that's an example of kind of that motion working with OMB, and then we'll be sort of presenting these cuts and add-backs to Congress as well as a way of sort of continuing to inspire that cut and invest strategy or innovate with less.
Is there a concern that a lot of the low-hanging fruit is already gone, and then to cut another 10% is not going to be very easy? That's going to start hitting the mission? Or do you feel like there's still, for lack of a better word, enough fat left?
I think it depends on agencies. You know, there's been agencies operate at different scales and different time frames, but I think in the whole, if you step back, there is about 10% easily that could be saved in this stuff. And I think it's largely driven out of duplication in commodity computing. And so we're just now getting data back, and we'll be getting comprehensive data back by the end of this month on as called for in our portfolio stat memo and strategy. And then over the course of the summer, we're going to work directly with agencies on their plans to do the consolidation there. And I think it will yield a pretty good return. Basically anywhere we've gone in and done these savings motions like USDA or GSA or others, we've seen double-digit percentage savings, and I think that will hold true as we look across the federal portfolio.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is the Federal Chief Information Officer, Stephen Van Roekel.
I didn't think it was possible for me to be an alcoholic. I was 24 with a good career. I thought I was too smart and that alcoholism only happened to middle-aged men and celebrities. I thought something else was making me sick, shaky, and afraid to face people. Then I found AA and discovered it wasn't something else, it was alcohol. AA helped me find a new life. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
As part of Sheehy Auto Store's annual campaign to support breast cancer awareness, the GW Mammovan will be on site at the Sheehy Ford and Nissan in Springfield. Stop by on Thursday, June 28th from 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Sheehy, in conjunction with the George Washington University Medical Faculty Associates, will offer free mammograms for those who don't have accepted health insurance coverage. For more information or to book your advance appointment, call 202-741-3252. That's 202-741-3252.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Stephen Van Roekel, the Federal Chief Information Officer. One of the other areas that I'm going to shift over on the 18-month anniversary, if you will, is around the cadre of specialized IT professionals, and it goes kind of meets in with some of the other HRPs of the Tech Fellows program, for instance. Give me a sense of that IT cadre. You've told stories before about the difference they've made. Are we moving out even further in terms of, are more people putting together these cadres?
We've got multiple things going on related to kind of the people aspect of IT reform. We have, in the 25-point plan, we describe the creation of a new job description for IT professionals. We call it Series 2210. And one of the things we haven't announced publicly, but will on this anniversary with you, is we've got over 1,000 2210 series program managers in the federal government now, which is a great number and great growth in the last 18 months driven there. Tech fellows were in the final stages. Actually, we're waiting for OPM to report back to us. The hiring trends on the PMF program and the tech fellows, and we're anxiously awaiting that, but at talk to agencies about scoping positions for tech fellows, and have that's happening, and we've got commitments from every agency to hire people on through the technology fellows program. The digital strategy launch a couple weeks ago also created this new position of innovation fellows, where we're going to be rotating in a non-conflicted way but paid way private sector people to work side by side with government. So I'm excited about that, and we've had over 1,000 people show interest in joining the team on that front. And then the cadres work is voluntary for agencies to actually dive in. We are doing some of this in my shop by setting up specialized resources that we can actually go out and work with agencies on projects and other things. The initial tranche there is going to be working on accountability mechanisms to track progress against IT reform focused on savings. So working on the advancements in the IT dashboard and the tech stat program and other things like that. So we're doing that as well.
All right, so there's a lot to follow up there on. Let me start with the 2210 program managers. You said there's over 1,000 of them now. Show me why that having more than a thousand is important.
Yeah, this 2210 series was actually created with the IT reform plan. So in December 2010, we had zero, and so we've got now over 1,000 people spun up on that.
And the thought process behind that is now you have people who are qualified based on the career path that was outlined by the work that you guys did with OPM.
What we've noticed is, and this comes up in the tech stats I've run and other tech stats that we've done around government, is oftentimes the projects that we're running don't have skilled program managers that can actually go and drive these projects forward, both looking at the business requirements and the technical requirements to answer those business requirements. And so this was really an effort to start to build that muscle in government and have that ability to run these processes.
And I know over time that program and project management has been a huge weakness for government. I know they had special hiring authority at one point. Did a lot of these 1,000 2210s come from inside government who are already there and they just had to be shown that they had to show that they met the qualifications based on the series? Or did you end up hiring people? Do you have a sense?
It's a mixture. I don't have exact totals for each of them, but it's a mixture of training existing people skill sets that existed where people could qualify into the series and hiring.
And obviously, when you look at the TxDOT sessions, which is another area that's all related to the 25-point plan, they are making a difference by having these qualifications. Give me a sense. I know at one point of the TxDOT sessions, you talked about, from an OMB standpoint, something to the effect of like $900 million in potential savings or cost avoidance. Do you have updated numbers around that?
We are currently at over $4 billion. I think the last time you and I talked, we were under $4 billion. We're over $4 billion in implications and savings. Another thing we're announcing on this anniversary is we've conducted over 300 TxDOTs. And probably most relevant to this as well is we've now crossed the 1,500 threshold for number of employees we've actually trained in doing TxDOTs in the federal government. So, you know, I've committed to actually just my last meeting before you and I are talking was a TxDOT session, and so I'm doing TxDOTs on a very regular basis. I think this month I actually have five of them. So I'm doing them directly from the OMB and the White House perspective, and we've trained 1,500 employees out in the IT workforce to conduct TxDOTs in their agencies. We've had 300 of them run, and I anticipate many more coming. And it's been a great mechanism to go look at the mission-based solutions and see what we're doing on those, and then the dovetailing that with portfolio stat. It's another thing I'm really encouraged by, to have, you know, not only that point solution, sort of looking at the opportunity at the point of execution on some project, but then looking across the portfolio to scope out what's there from a potential to drive savings into the system. The next report out on TxDOTs is September 2010, so we'll have more data there on numbers and other things and training and savings.
And from a TxDOT standpoint, you know, I know that you've been in place as federal CIO since about August timeframe.
Yep.
Are you able to give me a sense of how TxDOT has changed over the last 18 months? I mean, I know the history goes beyond your role as federal CIO, but do you get a sense maybe from your staff about how things have gotten better or changed?
Well, the first year of TxDOT was largely two things were happening. One was OMB was running TxDOTs, and my predecessor was doing them on a very regular basis with agencies. But in conjunction with that, we were also training people to actually conduct TxDOTs on their own. So agencies were building the skill set, and we were forming groups of people to actually collaborate on how to run and how to effectively run TxDOTs. About a year into TxDOTs, we then did a sort of a handoff to the agencies to get agencies to start running them themselves. That's when the numbers started to go up, and we started to scale the number of TxDOTs happening. That's why we're over 300 now that have been conducted in the last 18 months. And I also, upon my arrival, I brought TxDOTs personally back into my shop as well. And so I do TxDOTs I count it at least one a month, but it's averaging out to more than that.
We've talked a lot about the stuff that's went well. I want to shift over to stuff that you guys are still kind of making some progress on. But before I do that, any other areas that maybe you want to highlight that maybe we haven't highlighted about over the last 18 months?
Yeah, a couple things. A couple highlights for us is, one, I'm really encouraged by our progress on CIO authorities. I think it was the first memo that I issued or worked with OMB to issue when I arrived. And I think if you look at our shared services strategy, portfolio stat, all of those things are sort of all in the swim lane of CIO authorities to start to push forward on that. We just had a report back through our portfolio stat process on number of agencies that have authority CIO authority memos in place to look at commodity computing, and we're at over 24 that actually have either distinct plans in place or have a process in place inside their agency that gives that visibility. And so I think we're starting to inspire a lot of culture change inside the agencies that is going to lead to great outcomes. And then on the topic of shared services, one of the things that we did in policy guidance through this winter when we issued the initial cover on shared services strategy was asking agencies by March 1st to identify shared services that they were going to do consolidation on within the year, and then by August they have to have plans to us to drive those forward. Well, in March, agencies identified 60 of them. It's about $34 million a year in cost implications, and I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. I think Portfolio Stat's really going to inspire a lot of stuff there. This is a precursor to Portfolio Stat, where we wanted to get kind of agencies crawling before we did the walk and run that will come out of all this.
Now, eventually, I remember I was at a recent event, I think a firm luncheon, where a couple of your people who work on your staff talked about the shared services plan. And they talked about eventually this will be made public, those areas that the agencies ID'd. Are you able to offer some maybe broad trends, maybe not specific agencies, but some broad trends that you're seeing among those 60 potential consolidation areas?
I think, you know, we're going to I'm going to hold off on announcing any of those trends until we have more of the Portfolio Stat data in, which is due at the end of this month. And I think we're going to have a better picture of what this all looks like. I think by announcing elements of the 60 that have been identified, it would not be trends that you will actually see in the whole of federal IT that will come through Portfolio Stat. And so I think that's a stay tuned item, and we'll get back to you and be able to talk kind of in a grander scale about where federal IT consolidation is going to go, because I think Portfolio Stat will give us a very clear picture of that versus the self-identified 60 that came out of the agencies.
We have to take a break. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is the Federal Chief Information Officer, Stephen Van Roekel.
Share your home, change the world. Host a Youth for Understanding exchange student. Imagine welcoming a young person from Thailand, Japan, Germany, or one of 60 other countries into your family. Now everyday experiences take on a new and exciting twist. American traditions gain deeper meaning as you share them with your new son or daughter. Call 1-866-4-YFU-USA or visit the website at yfu-usa.org to learn how you can become a Youth for Understanding host family.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and my special guest today is Stephen Van Roekel, the Federal Chief Information Officer. A couple things that we talked about when we were back in December, a couple were on track or behind schedule. For instance, I'll go through them very quickly. Shared services strategy, obviously, that's done. Contracting guidance for modular development, flexible IT spending with Congress. Those three were on track. The ones that were behind was a commodity IT contract vehicle, aligning IT budget with modular development, and again, working with Congress to give CIOs more authority. Can you go through just maybe a couple of them? I guess the one I'd be most interested in is the contracting guidance, as well as the contract vehicle. What's the latest with those?
Yeah, so the modular contracting and the contracting guidance related to it are actually in final clearance. We actually anticipate them by the 18-month anniversary next week. And so you should see that very, very soon, and we'll have that deliverable out and ready for people as we get to next week. On the congressional stuff, you know, we continue to work with Congress on flexible spending and other things. I think one of the things that's going to help catalyze this a little bit is Portfolio Stat and being able to look at opportunities that we'll have that we can sort of fold into our budget request to look at, you know, the ability to kind of break down walls between different bureaus and things like that. One of the analysis we got back by talking to agencies about this was that there's quite a bit of flexibility out there, but not a lot of agencies actually know about the level of flexibility they have and what they can actually do. And so one of the things we want to do is start gathering that up and talking to agencies about the flexibilities that may be present for them that they may not know about. I've been, you know, very encouraged by our friends in the procurement policy group at OMB and their myth-busting campaign and other things like that. I could see a myth-busting element of this coming out in the future.
And as far as the contract vehicle itself, anything new around there that you can talk about?
The one I'm probably most interested in is email as a service and the infrastructure as a service. We had some protests that happened in the rollout in the procurement process for the email as a service, and GSA is committed that we're reaching the final stages of it. They feel really good and anticipate that that'll be out this summer.
Okay, and I know last one, because I know we're almost out of time. Looking forward, you released shared services, digital government strategy, Portfolio Stat. You made my life very fun and busy, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
But over the next, let's say, 6 to 8 months, because obviously there's a lot that depends on the administration and what happens with the election, where do you see the government if we have this conversation in January 2013, what's changed between now and then?
I think the thing I tell agencies when you look at it, kind of all the tactical level of a lot of the stuff that we're doing, which are very interrelated. I mean, we have conversations all the time about how portfolio stat relates to CIO authorities, which relates to shared services, and they're all kind of a singular motion and different elements of the singular motion, because like I opened with on the 24-band plan, you often have to be very broad to accomplish the things you want to accomplish. But the key here that we communicate every single day to CIOs and to the federal IT workforce is focus on innovate with less. You know, on the less side, it's go find the right mechanisms for your agency to drive down costs, reduce duplicative systems, you know, focus on your data center migration, your cloud migration work, focus on cleaning up your procurement stuff, you know, just go in and find investment vehicles, because you can anticipate that the budget's going to stay flat or decline, and we need to go and drive those savings. That's why our budget guidance supports the 10% cut as well. But as important is we can't lose sight of the important work that technology does on behalf of Americans for, you know, making us a more productive government, making us a government that can serve Americans in a better way. I mean, beginning of this administration, mobile wasn't around the way it is now and isn't as prevalent and powerful as it was. You know, you couldn't file your taxes online in the same way. You couldn't apply for a passport in the same way. Your Social Security work was, you know, mostly paper-based, and now it's mostly online. And so there's a lot on the citizen services side that we have to continue to just maniacally focus on. How do we serve our customers, the American people, in the most cost-effective way, but the most effective way to help them reap the benefits of their government every single day? And so it's all about innovate with less. On the innovate side, it's driving service. On the less side, it's driving savings. And we've got to strike that careful balance between those things in order to really operate at our best potential.
You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today has been Stephen Van Roeckel, the Federal Chief Information Officer. All right, very nice, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
The Federal Drive is sponsored by Learning Tree International.
Learning Tree International is the number one provider of IT classroom training to the federal government. They provide high-quality instructor-led IT and management training to government professionals and contractors at all levels. Call 1-800-THE-TREE or enroll today at learningtree.com/gov. That's learningtree.com/gov.
The Federal Drive, brought to you by Learning Tree International, airs weekday mornings from 6 to 10 and online at federalnewsradio.com. Newsmakers on the Federal Drive.
Dr. Dorothy Robine is DOD's Deputy Undersecretary for Installations and Environment.
We're trying to move toward more walkable spaces that are more family-friendly, community-friendly, less resource-intensive. In January, we sent Congress a request to authorize two additional rounds of BRAC in 2013 and 2015.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m., the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics, and your source for federal news.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van.